With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This video is sponsored by LG Ultra Gear, which, as far as I can tell, is the most powerful gear for victory. With the slogan, "Be the Game Changer," Ultra Gear are gaining popularity among gamers with their superior technology and status as the world's first IPS 1-millisecond gaming monitors. The emblem stands for the wings of victory, and if it were on my desk, I'd love looking at it. So, you game? That's the question that this show seeks to answer. My name is Wolf Schroeder, and I'm doing these special episodes of You Game with guests that we're going to be bringing from all walks of life. They're going to come on the show and talk about their experiences with gaming with me. We're going to be breaching a lot of topics, not all going to be just about gaming, but it is going to be about how different industries interact with gaming and how it affects people around the world. If you're wondering who I am an esports commentator who's been in Korea since 2011. Commentated a lot of different titles, Overwatch, very recently League of Legends, StarCraft 2 was where I really got my start. And I've been living in Korea for a really long time, know a lot about Korean culture, but I've been gaming ever since I could pick up a controller, probably out since the early 90s. But enough about me, let's talk about our guests that we have on the show today, starting with Arnold Herr. He's the COO of Gen G. Very recently, his team made the grand finals of the LCK.
Thank God.
We have Alexa as well, who's an amazing K-pop artist who has a really cool kind of AI-esque concept.
Yeah.
And last but definitely not least, we have BM, aka Big Matthew from Card. Really excited to have these guys on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Very excited. Before we get into games, and more games, I do ask that you guys follow us at The Dive Studios across all your social media. And please let us know what topics you'd like to have discussed on this show. Really want to hear from you guys, and we can actually cater the show towards what you guys are most interested in. And you could follow this podcast on wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, in particular Spotify. And if you do use Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating. That's extremely helpful for us. You know, you can give whatever rating you want based on what you thought of the show. But if you really did like it, please spend the time. Put that 5-star in.
Even if you didn't like it, give us 5 stars.
Let's go for 5.
Yeah, just do it.
Go for 5.
Just do it.
Why not?
All right. So I've got 3 gamers at the table. All right. And I'm going to be talking to them about their backgrounds in gaming and where they're from, what their careers are like, and how they intersect with gaming. Let's start with you, Arnold. You're a good friend of mine. I know everything about you, but the people out there, they don't know.
So my name is Arnold Herr. I'm the COO and co-president of Gen G Esports. we're a global esports organization, so we got teams all over the world, primarily in Los Angeles and Seoul here in Korea. So super excited to be here. I guess my background is I actually didn't start out in gaming. I was like very much a business guy. I'm still very much a business guy. So like I always loved gaming from when I was a little kid, and I always wanted to own an esports team. But then like esports teams prices just went like too high. So I had to like work for it and work for a company so that I could own a little piece. So, you know, that's kind of my background is, you know, did a bunch of stuff, worked in finance, consulting, worked at Google. And then got a chance to start in esports because what happened was, actually, it's a good story. I actually started out at Google and then I was playing in these like intramurals with like all the engineers. Right. So we would have these like tournaments at Google. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I would basically be like the only mid to like senior business guy playing with all engineers. And everybody was like, who is this guy that just like keeps talking about like his tournament that he has to play for?
Yeah.
And that's why he's going to miss the meeting. But what happened is, you know, I got known that way. And then somebody introduced me to somebody. And then one thing led to another.
What games were you playing in those intramurals?
I was actually on the bench for our League of Legends team.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I showed up to every practice. You know, I did all the VOD reviews. I worked hard.
So you were practicing and training so hard you were missing meetings just so you could get off the bench to play in these.
I wouldn't say missing meetings. I just blocked it off my calendar, on my Google calendar. And I was just like, oh, intramural meeting. right? Right? So I'm team building, right? I'm bonding with our engineers. So that was my excuse. But it led me to a good introduction of our chairman. And then we, you know, got the job. So yeah, it worked out.
It goes to show that not all gamers, you know, are from like kind of the nerd, you know, basement dwelling type background, right? Some gamers are businessmen who actually want to own an esports team. That's how passionate you were.
Yeah. Yeah. Some gamers are nerdy basement business people like me.
He's got it all.
All right, so I want to turn to you now, Matthew. Tell me about your background in gaming, what you've been playing recently.
I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and gaming has been a big part of my life since I was I want to say around like 12. Actually younger. I used to watch my dad play Super Mario on Super Nintendo. Oh, he would kill it. It would piss
me off.
One
of the best games.
Hey, it would piss me off because I couldn't get like anywhere like past where he would just zoom through the map and I'd like die from the little Goombas. Like all the time, like, it made me mad. So that started with Super Mario, and then I got really heavy into FPS gaming on PC.
Oh shit!
So Counter-Strike was really big for me. I love RPG games as well. I used to play Diablo 2 back in the day. I recently just started again. It's getting crazy. Like
such
a
good game.
Coming up.
So good,
dude. Diablo 2 is crazy. And then I also enjoy console gaming. I play Call of Duty Black Ops. Just recently got the Cold War on my PS5. Hey.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Did you pay retail or did you pay
extra?
Yeah,
did you have to pay for a scalper?
I actually got it as a gift from my little brother.
Wow.
He paid the extra.
Wow.
Yeah. He's making big money right now. But
spending it right too.
Yeah. And you guys know gaming is huge out here in Korea. They have like the PC cafes, like five on each block. So it's really easy to find one. And
Pro gaming teams too. It's the jersey that Arnold's wearing right now.
Yo, GD,
one of the teams we have out here.
Mercedes is sponsoring them, by the way.
Yeah.
Big plug.
I swear I didn't pay for that sponsor plug.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Big bags. Let's get it. Yeah, that's pretty much my background. I love gaming.
So it's interesting to hear the story about you and is your dad you said you played games with, right?
Yeah.
And you kept dying. That was my experience with all of my older cousins. None of my family actually played games really, but like my close immediate family.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My cousins were really big into gaming. I had a lot of older cousins. They were really good. And I remember when I was very young, just struggling to be like, well, how are they so good? My uncle also was the only person, like the only adult that played video games in my family. And I know that feeling of like, I keep dying to the Goomba. I don't know how they jump across the gap.
Yeah.
And then you get older, you have younger people that you meet, you know, younger brothers, younger siblings, you know, your friends who aren't as good at games. And you're like, I was there once.
I feel that.
Well, Alexa, let's talk about you. So, you know, what kind of games do you like to play? Are you a big gamer yourself?
See, the whole, I was there once, that has been me my entire life. I'm not too much of a gamer. Like, I've dabbled a little bit. Like, you know, my brother, growing up, we had a PS2 in my house. We had a Wii. We had an Xbox. So, I mean, I dabbled in things like Halo, Call of Duty every now and then.
Some good ones.
I'm not saying I was good. Left 4 Dead is a personal favorite because I like zombies, though. But, I mean, other than that, I've really never dabbled into PC or anything. The only experience with Fortnite I have was, like, playing on my friend's account at a PC bong while he went to the bathroom. And he asked me to take care of his turn. So I said, okay. And then I died. But, yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, everybody around me in my life is super into gaming. Like, two of my friends back home have, like, their own setup. They're making, like, a streaming channel. And so many people are like, Alex, get into gaming. Start streaming. But difficult.
Do you find it intimidating to play games just because you feel like you're not as good as everyone else? Like, is that something that scares you, or are you just?
It's not so much something that scares me, so to say. It's just kind of like, all right, because the thing with me is once I get interested in something, I just get like sucked into it.
Oh, so you're scared you're gonna get like addicted to games potentially?
Because I don't have the time or the money. So yeah, that's my whole two cents on the whole thing.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to… Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I actually spend a lot of time playing games. And when I was younger, when I had a lot more free time, I played a ton of games. So much so that at the very end of my high school, I was basically a 4.0 GPA until I discovered playing StarCraft Brood War Online. And I used to play casually, right? And then I started playing fairly competitively with a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. A lot of my Korean friends, actually, I grew up with in Georgia, played Brood War pretty competitively. So we'd play in tournaments.
Wow.
And after I started practicing, I fell into the same issue. Mm-hmm. I actually started playing so much that my grades were dropping. I remember one day I came home. I had like a C on a very easy class.
Sir.
Like senior year, right? You know, senior, I just whatever. But I had a C in one of my classes. And my parents, when I got home, they had gotten the grade report. And when I went upstairs to get on my computer, the power plug had been taken away.
Wow.
And they were like, you're not playing any more StarCraft until you get your grades back up. But I could feel that because now I try to act like I'm young again and I buy so many games mm-hmm. All the time. And I have this insane backlog of games. And I'm like, that looks amazing. I have to play that. And I buy it and I play it for like 5 hours. Then I'm too busy to play. And then the next game comes out. I buy it, play it for 2 hours. This is a huge problem in gaming right now. There's just too many good games to play.
Yo.
I actually, you know what the most annoying thing about working in gaming is? It's true. Like, I am so passionate and love gaming. But now I have zero time to actually play games.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I'm like even more competitive because I'm surrounded by like the best people in the world.
Yeah.
So like I can't just like show up and like be bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
So it's like the worst of both worlds where I have no time. And then at the same time, I play and I know how bad I am now. And it's just the most frustrating feeling in the world.
Yeah, it can be hard. I mean, I'm a professional esports commentator. So I commentate some of the best League of Legends players in the world. Some of which are on your team.
Some.
And, you know, and so for me, when I go home and play my ranked games where I'm not even close to the pro gamer level, it feels like almost infuriating to watch how bad I am comparatively. And even the people who are playing against me who are destroying me are also very much worse than the players that I'm commentating. And it can be a kind of weird gap feeling that you have. You're surrounded by pro gamers all the time. You love gaming. Don't have time for it. It's hard to be an adult, I think, in this world nowadays where there are so many games available. When we were at peak gaming age, right? When we were all in our teenage years and had a bunch of time. Summer vacation, for example.
Mm.
We could all play games all summer long. And could go through 4 or 5 games in a summer, maybe even more.
Yep.
But nowadays, it feels like I can't go through one game in a whole year.
Yeah. Adult life, bro. Adult life. It sucks.
It's not fair because there weren't that many games back then.
Yeah.
So you could play almost all the good ones. But now there's so many because the gaming industry has exploded
yeah.
so much.
Yeah.
And yet there's just no time to play.
See, I sacrifice a lot of sleep to stay on Diablo. A lot of sleep.
So I want to jump into one of our first topics, which is a game that's very popular right now. It came out in 2018. It's called Among Us. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. And it's a very popular game, but it came out in 2018. It wasn't popular for a while. It wasn't really that well known until a lot of popular Twitch streamers. And for those who don't know, Twitch is a platform where you can stream your gameplay. You can all stream yourself talking. It's just a live streaming platform. A lot of people are streaming their gameplay there. With popular celebrities. We even had politicians coming on streams and stuff
what?
Like that at some points. Yeah. Just because they wanted to get in with the kind of gamer circle. So
Wow. The
game exploded. It's a very cheap game as well. It's like a $5 game, you know, give or take what sale it's on or what region you're in. It's a $5 game. So it blew up and everyone was playing it. And everyone's talking about it. I see Among Us icons now in my PyeongChang, you know, downstairs. So I wanted to know if you guys have played this game yet and what your thoughts are on it.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, like anytime my friends and I get together, we'll be like, hey, anybody want to play Among Us? And then like we'll throw bets in and just see who loses. They do something. But yeah, it's fun because it's a simple game that even someone as bad as I can do. So yeah.
And just to give context to people who don't know the game, it's a game that's basically like Mafia. So you get pegged as the imposter. You might not. And then you actually try to go around one of the first maps. They have a new map now, Airship. We'll talk about that in a second. But you go around the map. And if you're not the imposter, you have to do certain tasks. And if you complete all the tasks, you win the game. Meanwhile, the imposter is killing people. And if you see a dead body or you think you know who the imposter is, you call a meeting. Then you discuss it. And you try to prove that the person you think is the killer is the killer. So there's a lot of mind games that goes into it. I myself am terrible at lying, so I'm very bad at this game. And I cannot play.
I'm on the same boat. That game gives me mad trust issues, bro. If I play with my friends, it's just like I know one of them are lying. I just have to figure out who. And that's like anxiety in my head. I'm just like, dude. And then like after the game is over and then I find out he was the imposter, he killed everyone, but he was lying so well. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I could trust you as a friend anymore.
Don't you feel like you can like see like different sides of them don't see as a friend?
Yeah. It's like, hey, if I ever did you dirty, you would lie to me like this probably, you know? Like,
Yeah, there's some games like that, right? Like Mario Party. I don't know if you guys have ever played it. It's like one of those games that you don't play. You don't want to play with someone that you're not really close with because you might ruin what it was a budding friendship. You know, you're getting close and then somebody stole the star after a 2-3 hour game and it's over.
Or Mario Kart, for that matter.
Mario
too.
Kart too. Yeah,
this violent.
Dangerous to play that with your friends. It's a game where I think it's really interesting to see this. And I'm interested in your thoughts from the business side as well. That wasn't very successful, but became successful because of this explosion of streaming. Mm. And I think that's part of why almost every new game that comes out now actually has the publisher getting streamers to play it early. Early release, streamers get it a day or two first to build the hype. What are your thoughts on this, Arnold?
Well, I think I would love your guys' opinion on this stuff. Because so one of the things that we're facing as a problem in the company is that all these guys that were I grew up in LA too. All I did was play PC Bong and everything. But there was no job or anything you can get now then, right? But all these guys just play games. And now they're making millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And when you make millions, all of a sudden people start hitting you up.
Yep.
You have managers. You have people DMing you. And they don't know how to deal with all this celebrity that just rushes in, right?
Oh.
And that's happening for streamers too. Where they're just streaming. And then they're streaming for 10 people. And then all of a sudden it's 50,000 people watching you and it's blowing up. But then there's no training that you get you would at an SM or wherever you would. So what kind of stuff do you guys get when you guys start blowing up or already have blown up that was super helpful, you know? Because these guys always ask me Hyung, what do? I get all these DMs and I'm just dude, I don't get any DMs. I don't know.
Get yourself, first and foremost, get yourself a manager. I think someone who can manage all those DMs for you and kind of pick and choose. Because obviously, if your numbers are up, you're going to get love calls from whatever corporation, from whatever company. And they're going to want to sign you and have a contract out. But I feel like… Look for advice. I'm sure someone like you definitely knows from the business aspect what to do when it comes to contracts. And I mean,
the numbers side is easy, but the hard stuff is social media, right? Everything they do is just
it's tracked.
1,000 people. Yeah. And oh, that's good, that's bad. And then they just get so stressed, right?
Mm. It's so stressful because it feels like eventually when you get too big, if you make one mistake, right? And some people are really upset about a tweet you made or an Instagram story you
that
made
happens.
Or a Snapchat or whatever, then you suddenly are it feels like you're just walking on eggshells forever until you can kind of get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people actually are good at dealing with that and some people are not. Some people need a PR person they need to show their tweets to, right? For example, before they post them.
Right.
And I think that, managing social media is one of the most important things you can do as a brand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think you guys have both… I looked at your social medias over the last few weeks. You guys are both doing a great job.
Thanks.
Well, I have a question. You did it by yourself first, right? Because I think And then how is it different when you were doing it by yourself versus now it's professional, you know?
Well, I mean, again, so I got my start coming into the industry. I was a cover dancer originally. And then my social media by myself, I built it up to 60K people.
Wow.
And so I would do Instagram lives and stuff all the time. And that's kind of how I maintained my following and everything.
How does that transition work? Did it feel weird at first for you or?
But the thing is, my company's super open-minded and they know that I'm not going to say something out of pocket.
So it's kind of another pair of eyes, if anything.
Basically. Proofreading.
It's really funny because even in Korea, what's happening right now is there's two groups of esports teams, right?
Mm.
You got one group that's basically old school. We are going to create the next 90s, K-pop,
almost idol group,
company.
Right?
Yeah. Where they won't let you post players do anything.
Uh-huh.
And they just say this is the post you got to post. And then we're kind of more no. We're going to create more freedom. And we've been tracking more Korean hip hop to try to learn how Korean hip hop grew.
Okay. Yeah.
To be how do we build that? You know what I mean? To make it more fun, you know? But it's weird how there's a divide happening right now in esports.
In the old days of Korean esports, there wasn't really social media or Twitter. And players were actually given… Because, all these guys back then were 14 to 17 years old. That was one of the most common ages you would play StarCraft Brood War at.
Right.
Back in the early 2000s. So all these players were actually given media training by their teams and staff so that when they would do interviews after a win, they would know what to say, they would know not to mess up, things like that. And nowadays, it feels like that's kind of gone by the wayside. The social media has kind of erupted. Players are sometimes awkward on camera, I feel like, nowadays. And it's really interesting because that explosion of social media hasn't quite hit Korean esports yet because teams still have that mentality because some of the ownership is still old, like you said, and old school and wants their players to say nothing. You're a professional. You're a pro gamer. You say it on the televised interview. You don't have a Twitter. Turn your Facebook off. Like, stay quiet.
No.
And it's kind of like, it's not that restrictive and it's not that strict, right? But that's the kind of general idea. So a lot of players grow up with this idea of like, I should be somewhat reserved in my opinions. And then other teams, like yours, are trying to kind of push the boundaries quite a bit as to where you can show your personality outside of the game.
It's funniest when you like make them do stuff with celebrities. We had like one thing that happened. Baekhyun came because he's a huge PUBG fan.
Oh yeah, he's good. I heard too.
Really,
he's
good. Really good. Like yeah. At first we would thought it was just like Insa, and then like pretend we're playing, and he's like, no, we're playing. And then he knew all our strategies. Like, it felt like he scouted us or something. It was crazy. He's like, yeah, so you're going to go this way and you're going to go this way. And all our players were like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah.
And then he asked for their phone numbers after so he could still duo queue with them.
Yeah. Hey, from what I hear, Baekhyun is top three in the celebrity PUBG world.
Wait, are you ranking him number three or number one? Where would you put him?
I haven't played with enough celebrities to know. But everyone I've played with, he's the talk of the town. It's like, you haven't played with Baekhyun yet? Like, Baekhyun is really, really good.
It's really
like,
good.
Like, I would say, like, I would always ask him, like, where would you put him in the celebrity range? Like, out of everyone I played with, I top three for sure.
Wait, that's… Yeah. So, I keep hearing that, right? Like, how all these, like, celebrities are, like, playing games. But I don't, like, see it in, like, media news and stuff. Like, why is this, like, thing happening? Like, they're all playing games and what's going on?
You know, I feel like in the celebrity or in the music world,
if you're a musical artist,
your fans want you to focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, there's obviously still a stigma amongst a lot of people that gaming is a waste of time and you should rather be studying and working hard on whatever profession you're trying to achieve. And say I was streaming.
Right.
Say I love PUBG. Say I was doing it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
You could see that for 4 hours, right? But fans don't necessarily see the amount of time that go into the music production. So in their head, it's kind of like, oh, you're just playing games. Why aren't you working on music?
Right.
That's more like clear in your face because you're streaming it. But, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff, that's not shown. So I think image-wise…
Do you feel like the reason why it's becoming maybe a little bit more accepted nowadays and getting a little bit more popular is because people are starting to realize you can make a ton of money off of this?
Yeah.
Because before it was like, okay, well, what are you doing? You're messing around. You're wasting your career away as a musician or anything else from playing video games. I mean, you even see it in like movies, like in pop culture in the early 2000s. You'd see somebody sitting at the… You know, somebody who's like having a slump in their career. Whether it's a baseball player or a musician like sitting at the computer playing a game or something like that. But I feel like that the equation has changed now because if you are popular enough, as a musician even, you can actually take that following, bring it into a streaming platform and make tons of extra money, right? I feel like now it's becoming more acceptable. People are kind of looking at each other going like, yo, you want to collab on a stream? Like you want to actually build our following together?
Yo, dude, I don't see why not. I mean, let's get this money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's get it. Why not? A perfect bridge, I think.
Today, we are here in the studio with the LG Ultra Gear. Let me get the model number right. 27GN950 monitor. It's a really fast monitor. It's 144 hertz. It's really quick. And I'm told it's got RGB sphere lighting for an immersive gaming experience. The RGB sphere lighting is really important for getting that sound and video synced. Overwhelming speed. 144 hertz refresh rate monitor combined with IPS 1 millisecond refresh rate. And if you like that monitor, I've got good news because there's another new one coming out, the 27GP950, which has HDMI 2.1 as well. So keep an eye out for that. Stay tuned. It'll be out in 2021.
Oh, do you guys want to actually have this conversation before we…
Yeah.
I think it's good for the show. Like, we're talking about… Off-camera, guys, just to bring it back in. We're talking about gaming salaries, and Arnold was talking about how some of these players are making $5 million plus a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it blew up, man. Like when I first came into this thing, it was like 3 years ago only, like 3-4 years ago. And like salaries were like 100,000 for like the best guys, you lay like 300.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, how do I afford this?
Yeah.
Now, man, like people are making like $5-10 million as like pro players. And then as streamers, they're making like 10, 20, even 30 million a year. And I'm just like, what is going on? But I think it means like culturally, it's getting more integrated into like mainstream.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's helping us. I mean, look, my shirt's filled with just
Bill's sponsors.
I know, right? I love it.
I'm chilling, you know?
As industries grow, right? They explode because they become popular enough that sponsors notice. And once one big sponsor gets in, every other sponsor wants to be a part of it. You don't want to be the one big company that's just not attached to gaming at all.
Yeah.
And I think the same can be said of YouTube artists, K-pop industry as well. Once an industry grows, it really starts to explode. Mm-hmm. Really starts to mainstream. And speaking of kind of mainstream, it feels like nowadays K-pop has become very mainstream in terms of how it's perceived outside of Korea, right? It used to be kind of a small thing in the States. Before I moved to Korea, right, around 2011 now, about 10 years ago, that was when I remember my friends were starting to get into K-pop a little bit more. I had listened to it a little bit, but it was very niche, right? It was mostly my Korean friends and my friends who hung out with my Korean friends who weren't Korean, right? Like it was kind of a smaller circle. Mm-hmm. People heard it when they were listening. But now it's so big that it feels like now even companies like Riot are actually making kind of K-pop groups, right? KDA is a new group that they came out with a few years back. Yeah. And it has their champions in it. So the four champions are Kai'Sa, Evelynn, Ahri, and Akali. So these are four characters you can play as in League of Legends. But they've made them into essentially an idol group. And of course, they're actually voiced by several different musicians and singers. Two of them actually being K-pop idols themselves. And I want to know what you guys think about this, because this is this kind of crazy melding of two booming industries outside of Korea. Yeah. K-pop is growing outside of Korea massively right now. Gaming is growing outside of Korea massively right now. And you guys are both kind of from that musician background. So how do you guys feel about this sudden growth and explosion and this kind of melding of gaming and K-pop?
I mean, yeah, right now it's a good time for it to all take off, honestly. Because, I mean, I'm familiar with some of these champions because my brother used to be really big in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically Ahri. Because, I mean, you know, there's the pop star Ahri skin and that's modeled after Sonia Shide.
Yeah.
So it's like they were
Even
already…
Even has a dance. Exactly. Yep.
They were already one, but now it was just kind of all funneled together and that's the result. And yeah, I think it's a great idea that this is happening though.
Yeah, I also have a great idea. You should make a guy group and put me on.
Yo, do it.
I'm not
do
even
it.
Playing right
oh,
now.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Because who's to say
that it has to be female characters, right?
Yeah.
What kind of character would you want to be if you were in the game?
He's going to be a rapper, right?
I heard somebody works at Riot or their sister works at Riot in this building right now.
Yeah.
So what kind of character would you want to be?
First and foremost, I want a sword bigger than me. Like
a sword bigger
sword.
Than you.
Yeah, okay. A big sword. Super futuristic. Some neon on it maybe. Maybe like have it shoot lightning and whatnot. That would be tight. And then I want my shirt off to look extra sexy.
All the new male characters have their shirts off and look super sexy. So you fit right in.
And then can I get matching like neon eyes with my sword too? I think that'd be tight.
Yeah.
And then like maybe some like… Hey Nike, if you're listening, let me get… maybe we could put me in the ones. The Jordan ones. That would be tight. Yeah.
Maybe they could add a new item to the game. New Nike boots. So that give you some more movement speed.
Let's go. I like where you're going.
Wait, let's keep going. If you're matched up against him and the lightning sword guy, like what would you be?
Yeah, who are you going to be?
Yeah, what would you
Great
be?
Great question, because honestly, like the whole thing behind Alexa in general, like making my concept, our team actually has some very… They got people that are very interested in games. We have some gamers on my team, so that helped make our concept. And later we want to try to somehow put Alexa into gaming things, but… Alexa aside, what would I be if I had to verse that?
Yeah. You got to win that, right? He has lightning and a sword and then like, you know, some water, Jordans or something. So
water against lightning is…
Okay,
if you wanted to be like my arch nemesis or… Wait, no.
It should be earth. Water is
you're
weak,
right? Okay, yeah. I almost flipped that around. Yeah. If you were water, I'll whoop you.
Did you just give her dirt as like her power?
Toph, Avatar The Last Airbender. Let's go earth
Okay.
I'll figure it out. I'll get back to you on that.
Maybe she sings really well and it moves the earth. Okay, that's her ability. She like sings and makes it vibrate and then throws the earth at him.
That's what I'm kind of feeling.
Why not?
Oh, okay.
I'm picturing an animation in my head right now of just us fighting in the game or something.
Artists, please do this.
Like cinematics.
Anybody, please.
Do it.
Oh, I'm sure someone will do it.
And also sing the title track for like the champ. Oh, wow, this makes so much
sense. Me and you, let's go.
Let's go.
Hey, let's
go. I feel like this… We just suddenly made Riot a lot of money. Made you guys a lot of money. Like,
contact
wow.
Contact us, Riot.
Yeah, right. Put us on.
DMs are open, right?
Yep.
So I want to ask you guys about how you feel about the sort of animation side of it, right? Because Riot is actually, you know, animated performances as well. So they're not actually, you know, the singers who actually do the voices are not on stage, right? It's kind of recorded voices. And you guys have done a ton of performances in your career over the years. How do you feel about this kind of new style of almost like hologram, augmented reality stuff coming into the K-pop scene? Do you like it? Does it feel too different? I mean, I really want to hear your takes.
I mean, I think it's really cool because I'm someone that has a super like nerdy background. I used to really be into something called Vocaloid.
Oh, and yeah.
So, yeah.
Hatsune Miku stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so they had holograms on stage back in the day. So it's really nothing new to see a performer that's a character and not the person themselves. I mean, like, there's this one British band called Gorillaz. And
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's like, where I was going to go with this. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Gorillaz is a big example that comes to mind when people think of this, right?
Exactly. I mean, they have holograms or like they have like little like… even like puppets for certain things going on stage. But I think it's pretty cool, especially because it's coming into K-pop. But like, would I pay for like a 2-hour long concert just holograms? Maybe not. But like, there's still a niche for it in the industry though.
Right.
That's what
right.
I think.
Yeah. I think that there's certainly an argument for this sort of thing to grow because… Mm. Especially right now in this pandemic where it's hard to attend live events. It's hard to go to concerts. Some of the stuff that Riot's done with this for the World Finals has actually set up a really cool viewing experience on stage. And the majority of the people watching that World Finals are watching from home. Like on internet television, right? They're streaming it. So if you have this, you can almost do anything, right? It's like making a movie versus making an animated movie, right? When you have an animation studio, there's no limit to what you can do because it's not real, right?
Right.
And in that sense, making KDA actually allows Riot to do a ton of really cool stuff with stage performances. They can do it even if there isn't a live audience and it will still be seen by thousands of people, right?
Right.
So I think it's a cool strategy, especially right now. I don't think that's why they did it, but it ends up working out to be a really cool thing right now when no one can really go to live events.
Yeah.
I actually wonder, like, we've noticed… So we work with, like, a lot of musicians for stuff. And then we noticed that a lot of the musicians started doing, like, live streaming, like Twitch and all that stuff. Especially, like, DJs and stuff.
Yeah.
You're not gonna… There's nothing else to do right now,
right?
Do you think they're gonna, like, stay… Is this, like, a move that's permanent? Or do you think they're just going to go back or forget it? Or what's going to happen, you think?
You know, I think this is… you know, obviously COVID being the biggest problem. Although it's a problem in that aspect, I feel like it's opened doors to a lot of different platforms like Twitch and streaming.
Yep.
I don't personally feel like it's going to go away completely after COVID clears up and we can have more, you know, human-to-human interactions. But I feel like while… COVID was an issue and we had to take that route of watching everything through streaming. Whoever has fun with that… I mean, everyone is going to have fun with that. You know, that's because you have to cope with that. That feeling is going to stay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, obviously, you'll be able to go to the shows and see it in person and not… But if not, you could be at your house and watch it and like still have fun. And I feel like it's opened that door. So, yeah. I don't know. I think it's a positive thing.
I mean, for us, like from a gaming side, like 3 years ago when we were trying to like… talk to and hit up all the like music people.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially in Korea, they'd be like, oh, like you said, like the old school thought, like, oh, gaming, like we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got really lucky. We got to do like a walk-on track with PH1.
Mm-hmm.
But he's from like the States, right? Where you know, he understood and
great
he
artist.
Gave us a chance. So thank you.
Great artist.
Wait, funny story is this is before COVID, but I didn't really know his work before like he, you know, did something with us. And then like afterwards, I started like really following his stuff.
Mm.
And then like I became like a big fan.
Okay.
And then it was kind of like I saw him in person and then I got like really nervous. I was like, wait, the first time I met you, I was all cool.
Yeah.
And then the second time I'm like a fan and I'm just like, oh, hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
That can happen for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so now though, like I think because they've been looking at live streaming… Like all the like Ajushi CEOs or even though I'm an Ajushi now too.
I'm getting close to, bro. I feel you.
It's really
they're
interesting.
Like, they're like down to like talk about it.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting to see this develop. And the cool thing about making music like what Riot's done here with KDA is that you can use it. It's yours. You don't have to pay licensing fees, right? So Riot has also made their own music for that they can use now during their esports. They can do performances without paying rights because they've made it and they own it, right?
Mm. Right.
So that's a really cool thing that I think a lot of companies are doing right now. And instead of necessarily like getting someone to do your walk-ons with you, like I think companies will eventually make music like this they can use themselves without having to pay fees.
The interesting thing is actually last year I had this one English song come out that was a collab. This like really big DJ from Europe called The Fat Rat. So the song's
cool name.
The Fed Red, yeah. But I learned recently that that is my top stream song because a lot of gamers use it in the back of their streams because it's like copyright free or whatever.
Wait, that's a big opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
See, wow. we try to make money right now, right?
Let's go.
So stream my song if you want to. Thanks. Yeah.
Like,
gotta
right
get that
now,
promo in.
Like for the major labels, there's like these huge, you know what happened with like the whole Spotify thing?
Yeah.
Right? With like, especially like K-pop and now Korean hip hop, like you can't see it on Spotify anymore.
Yeah.
So what's going on is on Twitch, when gamers are streaming, like, you know, when you play for like 5 hours, you need like stuff in the background. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go crazy, right? Because they're streaming and they're not available, they get DMCA'd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So essentially,
and so there's no music to play when you game
exactly.
in front of millions of people right now.
So what's happening is, you know, if you're streaming and you're not playing music, you're losing views to somebody who is playing music oftentimes because their stream is more chill, right? There's kind of a vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people were actually taking risks like, well, I might get in trouble for this, but I might not get caught because it was kind of… unfortunately, not really blanket applied correctly. So some people were getting banned for music. Some people were not. Some people's old clips from months ago were getting banned.
Mm.
And so also Riot has also taken the same strategy with releasing their music and allowing it to be played on Twitch. Mm. So now you can use that music. And that's a strategy a lot of companies I think are going to be doing in the future is saying, hey, you can stream our stuff for free. It's free promo for us.
Yeah.
And then are going to try to pull those streamers into using their music for promotion.
Yeah, that's a great marketing tactic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We that's why we made even the walk-on tracks and stuff because we like try to figure out like cool artists and like I wanted to like do more stuff with like more like Korean hip-hop artists and stuff but we couldn't get through to figure out how all the DMCA stuff works of like licensing and then like online and offline and all that stuff.
Mm. Right.
So the next big topic I want to talk to you guys about is a new game that came out recently. And it's in one of my favorite series of all time is Monster Hunter. Mm. Have you guys heard of Monster Hunter? It's a very new game. It's getting very popular recently. Monster Hunter Rise just came out last week.
Mm.
Sold 5 million copies actually already. Have you guys had any experience with Monster Hunter?
I've watched my little brother stream it for me over Discord when he plays it with his friends. Yeah.
Is there any relation to the movie that came out?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, yes. So, Capcom has a long history of making movies of their games. Resident Evil in particular.
Yeah.
Street Fighter also… we try to forget that movie.
Yeah.
Some of the Resident Evil movies were okay over the years.
They use the same actress.
Yeah, they always do.
For Monster Hunter too. But she's great though.
Yeah. And the movie… I haven't seen the Monster Hunter movie because I'm a huge fan. And I'm a little bit worried it's going to be like…
Disappointing,
you know. But I probably will see it eventually. But yeah, the main reason I wanted to bring up Monster Hunter is… you know, we have this cute little monster over here. He's a cat. Angry cat monster is… the cool thing about Monster Hunter is that it's a game that you play competitively, but not against anyone. You actually play PvE, so player versus enemies is the term that PvE means. So what you do is you go and farm a monster, you kill it, you carve parts from it, make a better weapon.
Oh.
Then you go into the next hunt, you fight a new monster, you get materials, you build a new weapon. But you're doing all of this online with strangers that you don't know, but you actually work together towards a common goal. So it's not unlike Diablo, right? That you said you were a big fan of. And I wanted to ask you guys what your experience has been between playing in player versus player games, like competitive games like League of Legends, Call of Duty, right? And games like Diablo, where you play cooperatively versus a common enemy, Monster Hunter. I just wanted to get you guys' take on that.
Matthew?
I kind of want to start this game. You're getting me real curious about it right now. Because I really enjoyed the movie. I was like, oh, this movie's crazy.
The main concept is, right, it's very much like in terms of… its builds, like the stuff that you're trying to do, is very like Diablo. You try to find these rare parts on the monsters. You get the best sword or the best bow. You have like crossbows in the game.
Okay.
You can fight with a lance. Right. You can fight with a switch axe, which is an axe that changes into a sword in the middle of the fight. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Dang.
And you basically farm this stuff to make the best gear. You min-max it.
Yeah.
And then you go play more with your friends. What I really like about this game for me is it's very much a casual chill game for me because I play games like League of Legends all the time. I get home from work. I play a game of League of Legends. The guy crushes me. My team is flaming me. They're really mad at me. Play a game of Monster Hunter. We're all fighting a common enemy. If you die, it's not a big deal. Mm. You just go again. Nobody's flaming you. It's super chill.
What is that on the monitor right now? Like, what are those things?
I actually…
don't know this game that well.
So these are actually two bugs. They're smaller monsters that you can fight. If you kill them, you can farm their parts. And
yeah. Why do you farm bug parts?
Well, I mean…
Why would you need bug parts?
This is a Banabra and you can get its stinger and you can use that to make a poison weapon.
Ooh.
Or a paralysis weapon.
Okay.
This one, I don't know what it's called, but I think you can get spider silk from it, which you can use to make traps. So you can make traps. So you can literally hunt a monster, right? You stalk it. You set up a trap. You put it down. The monster steps over it. Then you can do a lot of damage to it because it's stuck. It can't move.
It's like
I think you'd like it since you like Diablo. But it's a really different vibe from playing competitive games.
Yeah.
And I was curious, since you like Diablo, do you play any other games like this that are like, you know, player versus enemy where you play against, you know, computer-controlled opponents?
Diablo was the only one I did. I played 3 for a little bit, but… The item concept got a little bit too crazy, so I just went back to what I was used to.
Yeah, Diablo 3 was a little bit off the rails, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a little crazy. I'm a little bit excited for 4. I might try that out. WoW was huge back in the day.
Oh, man.
World of Warcraft was huge. But
I ruined so many grades.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And World of Warcraft was one of those combination games where you could play against the common enemy, like do a raid boss. But then you could also fight against players as well.
Yeah.
Depending on what server you were on.
When was your guys' like first time playing like something online or like a multiplayer game?
I want to say when I was like 12, 13.
Do you remember it?
Huh?
What was it?
It was Diablo 2.
Diablo 2?
Wait, now you're playing
What about you?
Still?
Yeah.
About you, Arnold? What was your first one?
My first… it was actually… I still remember this. I grew up in LA in K-Town. And so we had PC Bangs there or PC Cafes there. And then my like older… Like my Hyung, who's like not my biological Hyung or whatever. He's like, yo, like come with me like a Tuesday afternoon to go to PC Bang to play Counter-Strike.
Ooh, Counter-Strike.
And then he never invited me to anything. So I always was like, oh, but I have class. He's like, just skip it. So I was like, all right, I'll come today. And then ever since then, my grades went down, but my sniping went up. So,
there you go.
You know.
What about you, Alexa? Do you have any memories of your first online game?
Zero, but my friends play WoW to this day, though. So they're trying to tell me again, but I
remember I lost a lot of friends to WoW when WoW came out.
Oh,
I just
really?
Never saw them again, you know. And a lot of them tried to get me to play it. And I'm still happy to this day that this was actually the case because I was very young. All my friends that got into WoW, like their grades dropped immensely. They lost their girlfriends, right? Like at the time when it really blew up. And for me, the main reason why I didn't play was because you had to pay a subscription. I didn't have
that's
money.
Why I didn't
play.
So
why you can't play.
Right.
Oh, well, I guess. My first online game I had with my Korean friends in homeroom in… I want to say it was 8th grade. They were all playing StarCraft. And I remember they were all talking, speaking Korean. I didn't speak Korean at all at the time. And they were drawing diagrams on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing a map called Fastest Map. So it's an 8-player map, free for all. And they were drawing diagrams. And I was like, what are you guys drawing? Like, tell me about this. And they told me they were playing StarCraft. I was like, oh yeah, I actually have played that game offline at a friend's house. But I didn't know it had online play. And they're like, oh yeah, you can play. I found out the game I had, the version I was playing, was like an illegal pirated copy. That's why I didn't have online.
Oh
right?
No.
So when I came back to school the next day, one of them had actually bought me a copy of the game.
Wow.
What a CD key.
What a friend.
And it was like, yo, come play with us tonight. Log in. And then I started playing StarCraft. And that was my first like real online gaming experience. I got super sucked in. I feel like there's been a big shift in online gaming over the years. Because StarCraft, for example, was one of the first competitive games most people played online.
Yeah.
Because you could play it on like Windows 95, Windows 97, you know, level computers. But back then it was a 1v1 game mostly. So when you lost, you knew it was your fault. But as games have evolved over time and become more team-based…
Yeah, 4v4.
That's when like your teammates get mad at you. That's when your teammates get very upset at you if you make a mistake. That's why I was mentioning Monster Hunter because I think it's a game that I'd highly recommend to people who have, you know, kind of anxiety with playing team games online. Mm. I know a lot of people like to play against bots. In League of Legends because they're like, well, you know, you're never going to lose the game. So it's very low pressure. And I think games like that are super important.
Mm.
So we're going to go into our next segment, which is Trend Set Go. We have a lot of cool stuff that we've been getting off of Discord and Twitter and Reddit and all the memes around the world. And our first one is actually going to be from a Reddit user, Poopin Dash. This user actually put their artistic skills to the test with this really cool Among Us sculpture. So… Take a look at that. It's very very violent, but it actually won first place. Actually, it's a snow sculpture, so you can see it's actually made out of snow. If you look at first glance, it doesn't look like it's snow because it's just so clean, right? Yeah.
How do you do that?
How long does it take?
I imagine it probably takes a very long time.
God willing, the weather stays cold enough.
It looks very cold over there.
Can you guys imagine how many times that the end of the tongue falls, thing just like fell and he had to redo that?
Oh God, yeah, that sounds pretty miserable.
Oh, no.
Take the picture, hurry.
I mean, you could also see like the cracks on the mask as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for those not familiar with Among Us, this is kind of like one of the animations you can have when you get killed by the imposter. So that's our first thing we got from the net. And our next one is actually a really cool mashup that we have from LS Toast. He's a YouTube creator. And it's KDA pop stars, but it's masked with Megalovania in Beat Saber. So Megalovania, a very popular song from the game Undertale, from the Sans boss. I'll play this for you guys. So this is matched with KDA's Pop Stars.
Yeah.
This is the mashup between those two songs, I believe, with the Beat Saber. And if you guys don't know what Beat Saber is, it's a VR game where you swing at notes. It's really fun. If you ever get a chance to go to a VR cafe or if you own a VR headset, highly recommend it. Let's watch the mashup.
It gets so intense. Oh my God.
This guy is actually very skilled. All right, the last one is from Space Shub of his dog reacting to one of the cool features in Monster Hunter Rise, which I'll click on this here. And in Monster Hunter Rise, you have a pet dog that you ride around the battlefield.
Oh, you ride it?
Yeah,
really?
And so let me maximize this for you guys. So the dog, he made his dog, this guy, this Reddit user made his dog in the game, and his dog did not take very kindly to seeing himself in a video game.
Why would you do this to me? Why?
Yes, it does. It looks just like you, and you know it does. It looks just like you.
He's like, no, I look a little anemic in this, actually. He's like, I think I'm a little… He's like, I'm not that skinny.
Oh my gosh. What a cute dog.
Yeah, so I saw this video a few days ago. It was pretty funny. It's a cool feature in Monster Hunter Rise. I mentioned earlier… Very customizable game. I did not get paid to say all this stuff about Monster Hunter. I'm just a huge fan. You can customize your dog. You got a cat in the game as well. Customize your character completely.
Dang.
But that is going to do it for our very first episode of U-Game.
Wow.
I'm really glad you guys could join me. I want to go around the table and give everyone an opportunity to plug themselves, talk about what they're working on recently, where people can follow you on social media. Let's start with you, Matthew.
Yeah, first and foremost, thank you for having me on U-Game. I feel like I learned so much, not only about just gaming in general, but the inside scoop on what happens as far as like business-wise too. And yeah, man, I got a lot of up-and-coming projects coming up.
Where should they look out for that? Where are they going to see the when it drops?
Stay tuned on my SNS, Instagram at BigMatthew, 2 T's and 3 W's. Follow Card. There's going to be new news coming up on our Card websites, on our Card social media. And yeah, man, it's about to be a crazy, crazy new BM.
Congrats. I'm excited.
Thanks so much for coming. Alexa, what are you working on these days that you can share with us?
Oh, man, what can I share? So many things are in the works, but like completely NDA at the moment.
That's how it goes sometimes.
That's how it goes. There's a lot in the works right now. Potentially something that might tie in with the gaming community.
Oh.
But, there's just, you know, expect things in the middle of the summer. Things are going to be happening. So just keep your eyes peeled for that.
Sure.
You want any social media you want to share with people?
Sure. I mean, if you want to follow me, I got an Instagram and TikTok under the same label, Alexa_ZB official. And then follow me on Twitter, which is Alexa_ZB.
Super easy to find.
Yeah.
Arnold, lastly, any projects you're working on, any secret stuff you might be able to share or announce here, social media stuff you want to plug?
So I think there's a couple of things that I wanted to plug. One was our YouTube page, youtube.com/GenGesports. We have a bunch of awesome content there. We have this new series. I'm a huge basketball fan. And so I love Last Dance, and I wanted to kind of show what, you know, actually happens in an esports team. So we have a series called All In. And then, you know, we have some other secret stuff coming with the music and, you know,
I'm very excited
music
for that.
And gaming stuff. So
put
there's
me on,
a lot
bro.
Today.
Yo, put
we
me
gotta
on,
make
bro.
It happen. We gotta
Let's
make
go.
It happen.
Let's
People
go.
Will see this was the beginning
Yo.
Of how we make all the money from Please Riot. Hook us up.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
So yeah, but thank you guys for being up. You know,
well, best of luck on the LCK finals on Saturday.
That's true.
By the time this comes out, that'll be over. So, you know, people in the comments can root for you or say like condolences depending on what happens.
And of course, I also, you know, as the corporate guy, I also want to thank LG Ultra Gear for providing us with the 4K monitor and setting us up with the back.
And very clean.
And we got to hook up these gamers over here.
Hey.
You know, so we got to find a way to hook them up too. So we'll make that happen one way or another.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, it's never too late to start.
Let's
start Monster.
Hey, you can use Microsoft Word in 4K. You know, there you go.
Oh, that's true. Microsoft Word in 4K. Ooh, Excel and spreadsheets.
Oh, man, so many frames. That cursor is going to blink so clean. Clippy is going to give you the most high resolution advice. All right, well, that's going to do it for our first episode. If you guys want to follow The Dive Studios, you can do so on Instagram and on Twitter at The Dive Studios. So just type in The Dive Studios on those. And if you want to follow on YouTube for full episodes, go to youtube.com/divepods. That's where you'll find all of Dive Studios' amazing podcasts. There's a whole world of content out there with people from all places in the world. On the Dive Studios website, or rather on their YouTube channel. It's a website. But yeah, go check it out. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.